Hey guys, welcome back to the Meal Deals podcast. My name is Eric Wang and I'm here with
Victoria Pham
and Rafael Perez.
In this week's episode, we're discussing how art influences our lives. And I think this is a very important topic to us because we all came from Kappa, which is an art high school.
Yes.
And has definitely, I would say for me, influenced my life and the decisions I make every day and the passions I have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the best things about going to a performing arts high school was, like, first of all, we got to all meet each other and now we have this podcast going on. And second of all, it just changed all of us individually. And I think that the way that art shaped our lives is, like Eric said, it carries on within like every little thing that we do. And especially now with this podcast, we have so much dedication and so much passion for it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we grew up, you know, being very passionate about our art.
Yeah. The more I think about art, the more I think about Kappa, because now we have no more art or ceramics assignments and things like that. We're not really forced into draw or paint anything. But even though I'm still doing art as my hobby, definitely I'm going to have to give credit to the two teachers, me and Eric had in Kappa for, you know, at the moment, most of the time, you're just like learning like not the basics of how to draw things like that. It's like more deeper into that. It's just like the art movement and the historical art. And we had to research things like that. And we were consciously not knowing that we were not just learning about these things, but also we're applying those things that we just learned and into ourselves. And that's how we found influence of in our art styles, but also see like the way that we look into some things, in at least in the modern day, differently than how they were, before they went to high school, or we went to high school. Mm. What do you think?
I agree. You like, since we're in college now, and for Rafael and I, I'm sure Victoria as well, we're not specifically majoring in what we were majoring in high school. Victoria was creative writing. Rafael and I were visual arts. And now that we go to three separate colleges with three completely different majors, I kind of now appreciate how much time I spent on art in high school. Because I think when I was at Kappa, I kind of take it for granted. Because we were at our high school, it makes sense that we'll have to take like art classes pertaining to our major. Where in college, now that we are in a different major, we're not forced to take those classes anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now it feels more it's on your part. You have to do it yourself and you have to continue that passion.
And that's why I've been thinking about this. I don't know if me, Eric, and Victoria had to talk about this outside the podcast, but I also believe that every single person should go to an art high school because like we said earlier, and what you said just now was like, we basically learn not how to think, but like, how do we see ourselves and how do we see it on things? And because like in general high schools, or I don't know how actual public high school works, but
yeah,
you know, it's just like, we're special.
Yeah. So I don't want us to sound like snowflakes, but like, yeah. I feel like being in the high school that, I feel like we were really privileged to be able to go there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And to have the experiences that we had there.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the thing is that everyone was open there. And, like, this is, like, from my experience. Like, yeah, she's enjoying her coffee.
Yeah,
but
sorry.
Everyone had a experience, I guess. I don't know how the people experience in the general public high school. But, like, for our high school, everyone was very open. And then everyone was very, you know, we were contributing to each other as mm-hmm. to like from what I heard from other high school. It wasn't really like that. Everyone just like in their own, like just small groups, you know, like
yeah.
they just don't mess with the other people, you know, like yeah. did that make sense?
I mean, I think that in our high school, there was really no reason for us to stick to our own groups. Like, yes, we were all separated into majors, but we all mingled with each other.
Yeah.
And we always helped each other out with like different projects and stuff. So for example, like me as a creative writing major, there was one assignment where we had to reach out to visual artists to like create a comic book, I think. And it was like, I don't think that really felt, came through. I think that we gave up on that project real quick.
I think but, our art teacher was supposed to take care of that. And like Eppolito or like one of the writing teachers had to take care of that.
But like, besides that, it was like we always found a way to all work together as opposed to like we're in our own separate groups. And also the fact that in our art school, it was a little bit like we are all kooky and weird. Like, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, we're really quirky, but like
we're quirky.
No, but like we were like weird as in like super weird.
Yeah.
Like for example, we're talking about how art impacted our lives today because if you can tell, we have a new logo out right now. So, and one of our friends actually designed that who also went with us to high school.
And his name is Minbo.
Yeah.
Minbo. Like to, wait, what do we say?
Thank him.
We would like, to say thank you to Minbo.
Follow him in on Instagram, Mint to the Max.
Mint to the Max. MINTUDAMAX.
Yes.
Yeah. We requested Min to kind of design his logo for like months prior.
Yeah.
And already he's already back up with a bunch of art assignments because he's going to art college. And we were really surprised that he was able to finish it on his own time. Like, we're not paying him for anything. We're not like giving him anything in return except our thanks. Yeah. And because we're all friends and we hanged out each with each other in art school and being surrounded by so many artists like Min and like other students at Kappa help us thrive and nurture our own talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, when you talked about how that everyone should go to art school, I think that I see your point why you think everyone should go to art school, because that one factor of going to art school is pushing you to be more creative and be more open-minded. Yeah. So I would say try to focus on that pinpoint is like, okay, well, what hobby or like what passion or what interest makes you want to push yourself to be more creative and open-minded. It doesn't have to be strictly visual arts, strictly creative writing, acting, performing, playing an instrument. There's lots of ways you can find, find creativity in a craft. Like people don't really think math is a craft, but like someone can argue that there's beauty in some numbers in math, or someone can argue that, let me see, obscure art could be like making a business. They think it's a craft because you had to, in the end of any creative craft, you're creating something with your own blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that what going to Kappa has pushed us towards, like having that kind of craft gave us practice in our lives to push forward and to create something.
Yeah, not only that, but also the craft itself, it came from you, you know, with just general academics. What is coming from you except, you know, just writing what you were supposed to do, you know, someone applied you to your instructions. But when it comes to art, you're making your own instructions.
Yeah.
You're making whatever what you want to do. You're basically God when it comes to art. Well, like that.
These that's a little hyperbolic. Yeah. But
yes, you know,
you can't.
You're
have
God,
hope.
Okay?
You can't have hope.
You can't have hope. Okay?
In the last episode, we looked back on the video, and there was a specific part where Raphael was like, "You can't. The one thing you can't have is hope."
Yeah.
So now Raph is saying that you're basically like God when you're making your own art.
Yes,
I see your point.
And we'll go back to Victoria about contributing with different majors. Not only just contributing majors or different majors over a project, but also like unintentionally, you guys are getting closer with each other from different majors.
Yeah.
So not only are you just contributing projects with each other, but also you guys have other people who have a different perspective, and that allows you to keep looking for people that have different perspective instead of having your own echo chamber and a whole same mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree. I think I don't want to talk about strictly Kappa because I think that overall the lessons that art school has taught us has been really fulfilling for me. Like philosophically, I think that art has become the one thing that gave me any kind of direction. Like in high school, I was really confused about what I want to do. And I think that a lot of college students are, and I don't really see a problem with that. I think that a lot of people are they feel this kind of pressure to figure out everything before they're like 18 years old. And I never understood that. But on the other side of that, you're really confused about what you want to do all the time. And you're constantly questioning yourself. But with art and with writing, it was like like a lighthouse. And at least I could find my way to, you know, keep writing and keep practicing my craft. And it was something that led me through a lot of turmoil and a lot of personal situations that I thought that would really ruin me. And I know that might seem hyperbolic, but art has always been a strong force in my life. And I think that not only creative writing, I think that I've done a lot of different kind of mediums. Like I'm in theater right now, so I talked in the last podcast or a few podcasts ago that I got casted in next year's spring musical, and
congratulations.
Yeah, so that's gonna be really interesting and really fun. But I always thought that in general art was something that could give me hope, and I think that's what a lot of people really not cling on to, but hold on to as this kind of force that keeps them moving forward as opposed to being stagnant. Because a lot of people that, you know, they declare one major, they declare that something is their passion, and then they go towards it and it becomes something that they fall out of love with and they just kind of get lost from there. But I think that since art is just so ambiguous and you can fall into like anything in that medium, like it's endless as to the possibilities that you can find out about yourself.
And I have a question for you guys, which is that since art is such a motif in our life and or also basically the highlight of us, what led you guys, or tell us your life story basically on what led you to even do art, what led you to even write, what even led you to go to Kappa in that point, that because
so you want to hear a whole biography?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Eric, you should go.
Okay, sure. The first memory I thought of when I truly enjoyed drawing, I mean, every little kid, I'm sure you can remember as a kid yourself, when you have those coloring books, you draw like a house, a tree with like clouds and dogs, and like you have crayons and color pencils. But what I really distinctly remember is in my kindergarten class, I still remember her name, Miss Marianne, and this is when like Spider-Man, I don't know if it was the first one or second one, the original with Tobey Maguire, when that came out, I was like in love with Spider-Man. I was like, that's so cool. So I drew Spider-Man. I remember distinctively drawing like that circle and the triangle, the hat, like half circle eyes, and then like the web by making it like with just drawing the web on his face, and then giving that to my kindergarten teacher, because you know how a lot of pre-K kindergarten teachers would hang up drawings of their students students' drawings on the bulletin board. And then seeing that made me feel so happy about, oh wow, someone really enjoyed my art, and they put it up there. So after that first Spider-Man drawing, I gave her like 500 more Spider-Man drawings. I think she got tired of Spider-Man. But that's when I expanded towards other forms of art. I got into cartoons, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh!, bunch of anime, and that's led me into drawing more and more. And I even remember in my middle school, we had this comic book club, and I even self-published like my own comic book like in sixth grade, and it was like crazy. It was really deep. It was about this kid having dreams, but he doesn't know what his dreams mean, and he has a journey of like how to find out what his dreams really are and what do they symbolize. But like that, for example, art pushed me to like creatively push boundaries of what I know and what I don't know, and like find meaning within myself. So I agree with Victoria, where art has definitely been a big influence on my life philosophy, because I feel like for art, it makes you feel more self-aware of who you are and self-aware of where you are in your place in society, in the world, in the universe. So moving that from middle school to high school, I actually wanted to be a comic book artist. I thought that going to high school for art, like moving to another country, that was like I felt like that was like a dream or a goal of mine. But going to high school, like like Raphael mentioned, had helped me be exposed to other open perspectives, and like creative writing, like visual arts, even music has shown me that there are lots of outlets and lots of ways you can creatively express yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's, I acknowledge that now I'm a computer science major, but when people ask me, well, why are you a computer science major, when I showed them my art and I told them I came from an art high school, I think that that one principle of you putting your blood, sweat, and tears into creating something is one of the biggest rewards you see from Korean art.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing that outcome, seeing that product you made by putting in hours every day is like one of the most rewarding things about art, and having people appreciate it and you yourself appreciate it. So I see the same way with computer science. I see the same way with art. I see the same way with anything when you put in effort and work. I know my roommate Emmanuel, who's also behind the camera, he's also trying to write his first novella, and he's very passionate about creative writing, and you as well as passionate mm-hmm. about creative writing. So that exposed me into another outlet, and I think that's hopefully something I can experiment with. And music as well, I'm still want to experiment with instruments. Like I told Rafael and Victoria, like the guitar last summer. So I would say, like, long story short, is like that's I feel like how my art journey has been in the influence of the way I think in my life.
Nice.
Mm. Well, with my whole story, it's really long. It has a lot of like flip flopping. So I don't think that you guys knew this, but when I was kid, like really young, 4 or 5 years old, I was really obsessed with like Vietnamese operas. In the previous podcast that we were supposed to release last week, we already talked about this, but it didn't come up.
I just act like I don't know.
But I talked about how when I was a kid, the first 5 years of my life, I knew no English whatsoever. And being able to watch television and like see Sesame Street, or, you know, just seeing these kids be on TV and being able to let their imagination grow, I really saw that as something beautiful, and I wanted to be an actress like ever since I was a kid. And I was obsessed with Vietnamese operas, and I would remember like singing Vietnamese operas to my family, and they would always joke around. They would say like, oh yeah, you could become an actress, like you're so, like, you know, like hyping little kids up. But I grew up, and then it became really it became reality that my family didn't want me to actually go into, you know, any kind of artistic job or career, because, you know, being an Asian, and that's just how it is, like you have to find something practical, and it's a story that you hear time and time again.
It reminds me of that a meme I saw. It's like Asian parents teaches Asian kids how to play piano since little, forces them. When Asian kids want to play music for a living, and then there's the meme, Pikachu meme face, like, why did you do that? Like,
yeah, exactly. So I kind of hid the fact that I wanted to be an actor for a really long time. And when I was applying into Kappa, I was like, I can't go as a theater major because my family would never accept it. So I went for the quote-unquote practical route that I still wanted to go to Kappa no matter what. I wanted to be in that environment, but I didn't have the guts to tell them that I wanted to go for art, for acting. So I became a creative writer. But at the same time, I started writing in middle school, and I really felt like I found my voice when I really didn't have any, when I was a quote-unquote like child actor. When I was younger, I think that a lot of my parents were kind of hyping me up, but it was just for like shits and giggles. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you could actually do this as a real thing. So when I went into middle school and I finally found writing, and I kept it to myself for a really long time, I felt like I finally found my voice within the art community. And I remember this one specific time where I showed my parents my writing, and they kind of just laughed it off, like, oh, you don't really want to do this. Like, you think that you could be something with this, but you can't. And I just thought, that was my first time that I ever defied against my parents. I was like, no, this is something that I really, really want to do. And like, you did this with the acting thing, and I can't let you take this away from me again. So I went to art school without any acceptance from anyone. So my mom still gives me shit about it every single day. They're like, why did you make your dad drive you like every morning? You had to wake up super early just to go down there. And it really made no sense for you to go there. And to be honest, I felt really bad about going, but now I don't even regret it, because I have learned so many things there that I couldn't have learned from going to like a generic like public high school. And I think that I'd never considered myself an artist for the longest time. Like from my freshman and sophomore year, I was like, no, I'm not as good as anyone thinks I am, because I believed my parents. I was like, this can't become anything. It just has to be a hobby. And then I grew up with a lot of insecurity about that. It wasn't until like junior or senior year where I was in my student theater ensemble at Kappa, where I was like, shit, I have this love for theater that I can't keep denying. And like, I denied it for so long. That's why I kind of pretended that I could do something very practical. Like, I told my parents that I wanted to become a lawyer, or there was a glimpse where I wanted to become a doctor, and I was like, oh yeah, I could actually do those things. But then
I remember that.
Yeah. And then I came into college and I was like, shit, like, I'm lying to myself. And before this podcast, me and Emmanuel were just talking about something silly, or me, Emmanuel, and Raphael. And Emmanuel brought up this idea of like, you lie to yourself about a certain thing for so long that you start to believe it yourself. And there's a lot of people that do that. So they'll keep lying to themselves, saying like, this is the profession that I want to go into, and they'll get into it. And then that's why existential crisis, or like midlife crisis, mm-hmm. even happens, because you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I denied myself the dreams I had when I was a kid. And I'm so glad that I'm still young enough to change that direction, because if I were to go into a really practical profession, which I don't even enjoy myself, like I have so much respect, but I wouldn't go into it myself, I feel like I would beat myself up for a really long time. And we've talked several times about like me, for example, auditioning for Juilliard and like being into theater and having the theater ensemble. I think that I've shown, and not just told, that I really have the dedication to it. And that's why overall, like, my whole entire history with art and like being an artist has like ultimately changed who I am, because I've developed so much grit and passion for it. So yeah, that's it.
That was beautiful.
That was really long. That was like 10 minutes of
talking.
No,
not that it was long. It was just, that was, what a life, that was, you know?
Yeah, pack, I mean,
that packed a lot of punch in there, in that story.
But I mean, like,
I'm pretty sure you're inspired there, someone.
There were definitely a lot of moments in your story where I definitely relate it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like some moments, like for example, when you said to your parents they want you to go to Kappa. My parents didn't want me to go to Kappa. They wanted me to go to the school called Prep Charter High School, because they think that the high school will make me successful. Mm-hmm. And I literally defied my parents, saying that like, no, I'm going to the school and I'm going to be successful, or like, I'm going to do what I want to do on my own terms. Because mm-hmm. I remember I went to my uncle. It was like a dinner. I don't know my uncle that much, but my uncle was basically like shaming on me for thinking that. Shaming on me for, sorry, Raphael just helped Victoria with her attire. But I remember my uncle shaming on me for going to Kappa, because he didn't think that visual arts was really a sustainable career, even alone going to Kappa. Mm-hmm. Or he's setting me up for failure.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and that part where you, Raphael and Emmanuel, talked about where you kind of lie to yourself so much you actually believe it. I had that illusion where in high school, you guys already know, I thought like going to the best name school will give me success, give me that validation. And I kind of lied to myself, saying like, no, I'm just doing it for this. Mm-hmm. And I lied to myself, putting myself in this illusion. And I kind of had this crisis where, like, what am I really doing this for? Mm-hmm. And it gave me that stress and that anxiety about what I want to do in my life.
Yeah.
So.
Because there are peaks of your subconscious that comes through, and it's just like, you're lying. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to be a little lost. I always go by, you guys mm-hmm. already know, is that it's okay at this age, like not even at any age, especially our age, is that it's okay to not know all of the right answers, but it's okay to kind of to just search for the right questions. What do you want in your life? And then you go towards that direction. You don't need to know, okay, I need to do this and this and this. I want to do this. Just say like, well, what do I really want in my life? And then you'll try to search and experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way you, well, I truly believe, I think that's the way you should, how you should move forward in life, is that like, to be open-minded and experiment and not kind of be closed-minded for the sake of others.
Yeah.
So that's why I just want to stop right there. Well, Raphael asked us for our art stories. I want to hear Raphael's art story and how he feels about visual arts or just art in general, like writers he look up to, philosophers.
So, philosophers.
I thought of philanthropists and philosophers.
So it basically all started when I was really young. I kept drawing Thomas the Train Engine. You know, he was like...
Fine choice.
Yes, Thomas the Train Engine. I really liked that show. So I was like, you know what? I want to draw it, you know? Because like, it was like a simple shape and things like that. So I was like, okay, let me just keep drawing it. And then my parents were just like looking. I was like, he's a good draw. Look at him. Look what he did. I was like, yeah, you know, shit like that. So then like... It was, like, ever since, like, the biggest highlights of me, ever since, like, elementary school to middle school. And even in middle school, people were just they know me as, like, the artist of the class because I was pretty talented compared to other people in middle school. And, like, my parents, it's kind of actually, like, kind of different for, like, compared to you guys, how, like, your parents was, like, you shouldn't go there. My parents was just, like, they didn't give a fuck. So, like, they were like, oh, you want to go, like, well... Not only that, but also they were like, oh, well, since you know, you like to draw, and they knew that I like to draw, they were supportive of it, you know, because I didn't really express them about others as such as technology. Like you said, I had a little peek about technology, something about technology that I really liked, but since art was the thing that people know me about, it was the thing that I just approached. So Kappa was like, apparently one of like the best art schools and things like that. And then like I got accepted there, and then throughout Kappa that's when I was going like the different directions aside from art. And then that's when at first I had that surgeon phase.
Oh, of, I like, remember. Mm-hmm. You watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Well, not just that, but okay. Like, listen, I wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon, and like, and I was like, for some reason, really interested about anatomy and like surgery and things like mm-hmm. that. And, like, you know, I don't want to be a serial killer and just be like, oh wow, what's it look like inside? You know, it, but like,
as you can tell, Raph listens to a lot of true crime podcasts and like reads a lot of true crime stuff. So well, it makes now sense.
He does a lot of true crime.
No, chill.
I won't tell.
Shut up. But like, it was to a point that I joined Camp Cardiac, which is like this 1 week course of like learning about the hearts and like what doctors do and things like that. And then after I heard like, you know, even though I like school, you know, the thing that I have to go through to even go to be like in some form, like in medical school and things like that. And I was like, I don't think that's just for me, you know?
Yeah.
Even though I'm still interested about basically like the medicine field, or even like, we had a discussion one time through message about like how I was really interested in biology or in chemistry and things mm-hmm. like that. But it was just like a small interest. So then like it then perceived to when Eric introduced me to programming, and that's when like it hit the peak of like, this is what I want to do a career. Art, I still want to do it, but for as a hobby, I don't want to do art as my career. Mm-hmm. So like, it was just that I just had a lot of interest throughout high school. But now it's just like, I kind of like set with like, you know, art as my hobby and like technology as like some form of my career. But like in to make it more clear, once I started throughout high school that wanted to proceed more into technology, my parents was kind of, that's when my parents was like, wait, but I thought you liked art, you know, and it was like, and then I was like, I'm sorry, but like the programming is just the things I like to do, you know, and it took them a while to like get over the fact that like I'm like changing my career, because the thing is that even though my parents still like was still supportive of me trying to go to technology field, they were also kind of hesitant because they also experienced themselves that like they thought that I was going to be one of those students that was going to be lost, like completely lost, mm-hmm. where like, you know, they're not interested in this no more, so they're just going to change it. You know, they thought that I was just going to keep changing major just to, you know.
Because they already saw potential in your art.
Exactly. Yeah. They already saw potential in my art, but now that I saw more potential in technology, then they were kind of confused. Yeah. And plus, like, I'm not really too open to them about my interests. Now I am, but like throughout high school, I wasn't really too open about.
But you know what's so crazy, though, is like parents, they're so confused as to why their children like want to change direction. And it's like, yeah, because we're still young. We're still young, trying to like figure everything out. It's not like we were born with this one. Because I feel like a lot of immigrant parents, and I think that all three of us have immigrant parents, correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I feel like a lot of immigrant parents, they believe that when our kids are born, they'll have this one set direction that they'll follow.
When we pop out, you're like, okay, this guy's gonna be a doctor.
And it's like, America is this land of opportunity, but like, I like, no hate against immigrant parents, you know, because
of course
like,
not.
Obviously not. But it's like this very skewed view, and it's obviously because of the way that they were raised and like the beliefs and set of beliefs that they were, you know, born into.
Yeah.
But I think that living, like, being an American or, like, being a first-generation student or a college student, it's, like, there's so much freedom in, like, exploring everything. That's why when me and Raphael, we talked about his interest in, you know, biology and anatomy, I was just like, dude, like, just try it out, take a class and see what happens. And I think that... I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't have to be so rigid. And I think that's one of the things that art really taught us. It was like, you don't need to be rigid. Like, there's not one set direction. There's like 5 billion different choices that you can make.
Yeah.
As long as like...
Which is like going back to me while in middle school. It was just I was doing art. And since I was the only... Basically, that was the only thing I was doing in front of people. As like the front face of in front of people. They were just like, oh yeah, you should keep doing art. You should keep doing this and that. And then I was like, okay. You know, I wasn't really thinking too much about other paths. So then, when I went to high school, that's when I was exploring many fields, and then programming was the thing. My parents got confused. They were like, what the fuck? Now going to college, they accepted now. They know I want to do programming, and that I want to do art as my hobby, and that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just...
And our interests can change.
Yeah.
Just put it out there. I could be... a gymnast. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What were you? What did you say?
Nothing.
Okay. The audio recorded that. But yeah, I mean, even regardless if you change interest, change course, the biggest lesson value you get from just performing art alone is the passion, the enjoyment of doing that certain craft. So you take it anywhere, like rap. Do you feel like it's maybe it's different for everyone, but do you feel some similarity of like feeling satisfaction when you create art as compared to like programming or anything else when you read and write?
I would say the satisfaction they're all the same actually. It's just that I noticed that not only that I want to create, I want to discover new things, you know, something that no one had ever discovered things before. And that all comes down to research. You know, I noticed that I just like researching in general, you know, researching history and like specifically history, because history is like what changed everything, you know, history, like technology changed throughout history, art changed throughout history, creative writing changed like throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every single path that, or not path, sorry, every single interest that I have, I also want to look the history behind those interests. Or, and by that, I mean, like, in my interest about creative writing, I want to see what that writer, or like E.E. Cummings, which is why I'm currently reading right now, you know, what was the mindset like, what made him write this, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or, but going back all the way back to, like, the Shakespearean time of, like, the Romeo and Juliet, things like that.
Yeah.
I'm also currently reading the, I think it's called The Living Man Month, which is, like, an essay about, it basically, I think, software engineering in the 1970s. And mm-hmm. I just think, I don't know, something about that, just, like, it makes me, we just want to go deeper than, about the interest than what it is.
I mean, yeah, know? I think that, like, by researching it's the history of all of these different interests, like, it just expands your world. And it's not, I think that a lot of people have a very, I don't know, their world is very revolved around, like, the people, their community or their people, but, like, art broadens that so much. But art broadens your view in, like, so many different ways. Like, and now I just lost my train of thought because someone interrupted. But, like,
hey, he didn't know. You can
not. No. Yeah, obviously, I'm not blaming him. But, like, I just forgot my train of thought. But, like, art is, like, makes you so much more aware of things bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a very philosophical path. It's a journey. Or not path. Journey. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just like researching in general.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, creative people, a byproduct of that is being heavily curious, because if you're not curious, how can you improve? How can you grow as a person, improve in that craft? Yeah. Like, curiosity has to be a byproduct of what you're doing in life. So I think.
But did I answer your question, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you answered my question.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I could say that, like, all of our art stories are different.
Mm-hmm. Unique, all of us are
but
unique,
have some similarities of growing interest in a certain craft, and I see that completely in all of us.
Yeah.
See, and like I said, doesn't have to be visual arts. It doesn't have to be the typical what you think of when you hear artists. It could be anything that you believe is an art in of itself. Like, I can say collecting coins can be a piece of art because you are continuously researching about the history behind a coin, what value, what meaning the coin has to you. Or it could be anything. It could be you could be an architect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could design your own building and you think that's, like, a piece of who you are. And that's as an artist.
I mean, art just really makes you fall in love with life. I mean, that seems hyperbolic, and I've used hyperbolic way too many times in this podcast, but
word count for hyperbolic is
hyperbolic,
seven right now.
Hyperbolic. But yeah, I think that art just makes you more aware of your surroundings, and in that way, I think that there's an American writer named Walt Whitman who once said, like, something along the lines of, you know, you have to. He didn't say this. Why am I quoting him when he didn't say it? Like, his poems really just is looking at life in a very microscopic way. And in that way, you see the beauty in every little thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that art is just so prominent and so important, even though everyone kind of casts it off as something like, what?
I have a funny situation about that. It was like, the thing is about my personality is sometimes, like, I find some little things, like, really satisfactory. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people just get confused and just be like, why are you so happy about this? Like, for example, I went out with a friend of mine to, like, this thrift store. And, like, there was, like, this really old, like, casino, the one that 777 thing.
The slot machine.
Yeah, it was like an alarm clock with a slot machine. It was like, small. And I thought it didn't work. But, like, after, like, he just, like, pulled down the thing, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this works. And shit like that. And, like, my friend, it was like, what the fuck? Like,
it's just
exactly. Not even that. He was like, what about it? And I'm just like, it fucking works.
That's why it's like, it's just so cool when you know, when you're a kid and you're just amazed at everything, yeah. like every little thing, you're just like, holy crap. And then adults are just like, yeah, that's just how like life works.
Well,
I've seen it happen so many times, but
I'm still a kid.
Yeah. But that's what's so great about it. It's like, you need to find that because you just grow up and then like the world makes you so like cold and hard.
Miserable.
And like miserable. Exactly. And I think that you lose that innocence and it just makes you really sad.
Your story about the slot machine reminded me of kind of, it's what a coincidence. It was about Min, the one who designed our logo. I remember we were in art class talking about drawing a still life, which is, if people don't know what a still life is having drawn these objects in your own way, in your own, it's like realism. So anyway, I remember him discussing about the thing, what he loves about art is that he finds so much about the mundane details that mm-hmm. in life, or like the piece of foam in a cardboard box, or like the little glare on the vase. He finds that beautiful and he loves to like capture that detail. And that spoke to me. I was like, well, yeah, I think that's like how art is. Like art makes you more appreciative of life, appreciative of like those mundane details and make it mm-hmm. sound beautiful. I mean, not to get so philosophical, but I think that's what's so great about art is capturing those little moments in our life that we take for granted.
Yeah.
And show how much life can really be.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, at the end, nobody really cares about like the grand scheme of things. I feel like at our deathbed, I appreciate like the little moments I've had with people that are very special to me. And like, art is one of those things that exposed me to that. It's like, I have to be more appreciative of like the little things rather than the big grand scheme of whether like I have achieved something super amazing. Like it's all about the process, like Eric always talks about.
Trust the
process. Trust the process, right?
Trust the process.
And it's like,
resist the resistance.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not about like the end result, but rather like all of the little things that you have done or like all the hardships that you have faced to get to where you are. And like, When I'm laying in my deathbed, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, all of these achievements were the best things about my life. It's more about like what I have done and what I have struggled through to get to where I am.
And I think a good thing to point out about art is that finding what craft you're passionate about doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't come right away. Like we talked about in our first episode, finding your passion doesn't really like come easy. It's not like, okay, let me find my passion and it just pops out of nowhere. And I'm quoting this writer, Stephen Pressfield, and he said that there's going to be a lot of resistance and there's going to be a lot of difficulty, a lot of frustration when you work in that craft. But I think that's what a big thing of being an artist is, or being someone that wants to grow, is that you're going to have to face those obstacles. You're going to have to face those challenges. Right. So don't think in a way that like, okay, I'm going to be a amazing musician and think that like, you're not going to go against bumps across the road. You're not going to, you got to do the boring stuff. You got to learn how to do your scales. You got to practice that. You got to learn so many things that you never thought you had to learn.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's the beauty of art. Like you come across things that you never thought it was going to happen. It's exciting. It's like, oh, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but you might get nervous about it, but it's just part of the process.
Right. Yeah. And it's such like a high risk, high reward kind of situation. And also like, I definitely agree that finding your, refining your craft is really hard. Like once you find something, it's very easy. Like, oh yeah, just do it every day until you perfect it, right? And you can only rely on yourself for that. But finding it is really difficult. And I think that a lot of people kind of lose their way or they kind of just give up on it. But you can't forget, like, it's supposed to be fun experimenting with yourself and like exploring who you are. It shouldn't have to be this like a really devastating, hard thing that you go through. Like, yes, you hit speed bumps and like you go through some hardships, but overall you got to look at everything in a more positive light, or else it's just like, it's very easy for you to give up on yourself. And I think that with art, I mean, we keep saying that there's several paths, but I think that every single time, like you make a mistake on a piece of paper, like, or like writing in general, you go back and edit it, or you draw something that doesn't look like what you expected it to be, you always can go back and fix it. And I think that that constant practice of, you know, constantly working on yourself is really important.
I agree 100%.
I agree 100% too.
Yeah. And you think the word counter for hyperbolic is high. Imagine the word counter for art in this podcast episode. Yeah. It must be like over 100 by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what else to say about how art influenced my life. Unless you guys bring up some more questions and more discussions about it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
No, I think that I think we have exhausted the word art.
Yeah, and then we'll continue to update about like what crafts we're also interested in, or if we have any involving definitions of art. Like, art is never stagnant. It's a living world. It's a living craft. It evolves as you evolve. It evolves as you mature in life. Correct. Like Victoria said, it makes you more self-aware of who you are, the place you are in your society, of where you are. Sounds so philosophical, but where you are in the universe.
Yeah. Right?
So please let us know if you, what art you're interested in, what craft you're pursuing or practicing right now, or have any questions about more about just the umbrella term of art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this art topic was very,
I really like it.
It was very enjoyable to talk about because we all come from the same art high school. And
talking about our lives and how we came up to it. And the one that side note that I really want to know on is when you said something about like you can go back and fix it, you know. It reminds me of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Man? Me drawing like, Spider-Man? Is this so foreshadowing?
What I mean is it's like there was one part, I'm sorry for the spoilers, where like when like the Spider-Man who broke up with Mary Jane was like, oh, you know, like he went back and like actually like trying to go back and like, you know, fix the relationship between the two. And I really like, I don't know, I think it's just a very important thing in like for people that are going through something right now.
It's or like you something can,
that the mistake yeah. that made, they made, I think they have a chance to go back and fix it.
I remember distinctly in my middle school about the comic book club. When we were doing it that year, I remember when Miles Morales was first created, or like when that first the first volume comic, I remember first seeing Miles Morales like in that time era, and I was like, wow. And now Spider-Verse came out, and Spider-Man has evolved so much from now, and just like art, it's an evolving craft, you know. You see that segue right there?
I
agree.
But I think for right now, we have to end it because I think that we could talk for hours about this if we really wanted to.
As you can already tell, it is dark outside. It is currently like, what? Let me see.
Cityscape is beautiful though. 5:20
p.m. I don't know
if the camera can pick it up.
I hate the winter. But anyway, it just always goes so dark so quickly. But aside from that, you can always follow us on Instagram at Official Meal Deals. We currently have a Twitter open right now.
Yes.
So you can tweet at us. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people use Twitter. I think that a lot
but more it's there.
People use Instagram, but it's still there.
Yes.
And we're on Apple Podcasts for you Apple users.
Yeah. So we're YouTube just growing on all different types of platforms.
So if you don't have Spotify, then there's no reason you should not listen to us because it is already downloaded on your Apple.
Free
Apple
on YouTube podcast. As well.
Yeah.
And if you have any topics you guys want us to discuss about, feel free to let us know.
Yeah. All and right. Email us at officialmealdeals@gmail.com. You know, if you roll old school style.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye. Peace. Well, I'll see you guys later.